Chapter 14. Initially, this was a routine test for organic biological compatibility, Dr. Trent said while a tech she had introduced as Tully set up for the holographic display. Rossetti recognized him as one of the civilians who had been on the Sulaco, and he looked like he hadn't gotten over it yet. If he'd been a Marine, Rossetti would have insisted he remain in the clinic for further observation. He wondered what Adele Trent was thinking. Maybe she was showing off for Company Ken. See how fast my people recover? Company Barbie, however, was conspicuous by her absence, which surprised him. He'd thought Fox and Wells were electronically stapled together. As if he'd caught the gist of Rossetti's thoughts, Fox turned to him, his smile professionally cordial. Miss Wells is catching up on firework we didn't have a chance to finish yesterday, thanks to, some sudden developments. She should be joining us later. Rossetti nodded. A JAG officer had once told him that any time people volunteered answers to questions you hadn't asked, it was misdirection. Like a stage magician. I should clarify that Ms. Wells isn't my assistant, nor am I hers, Fox went on. We're colleagues. He shifted impatiently in his chair as he watched the tech, who seemed to be having trouble with the hardware. Tully looked up from the projector, first at Trent, who made a small hurry-up motion, and then at Rossetti.
Is there some problem? Rossetti asked.
Sometimes it has trouble connecting with the nebula, Tully told him. The nebula? Fox sat up straight, looking to Trent, then to Rossetti. What nebula? On a planet, it's called the cloud, Trent said, but a cloud in space is a nebula. Fox's expression turned wary, as if he thought Tully were trying to put something over on him. If a nebula is a cloud, why not stick with the original term? Everyone knows what a cloud is. Nebula sounds like something different. Tully paused to face him.
It is something different.
On a planet, clouds are water or ice crystals. Out here, a nebula is made of dust and ionized gases. Tully? Trent looked a warning at him.
Sorry, the tech said, sounding a bit sulky. It's been tough going lately. You ever have one of those lifetimes?
Rossetti gave a short, spontaneous laugh that surprised all of them, including himself.
I hear you, Mr. Tully, he said, ignoring Fox's disdainful look. Take your time. We'll wait.
Trent's expression said she didn't know what had gotten into him. Rossetti would have told her to relax, but he knew how she felt. Nobody could relax with company goons on the premises. Fox was staring hard at the tech as if he were trying to will him to work faster. The son of a bitch was probably trying to think up some way to penalize Tully for lecturing him on clouds and nebulae. Maybe he'd issue a fiat saying anyone using the word nebula would forfeit their shares. That would give Rossetti a great reason to shove his boot up Fox's ass sideways. Or maybe he should retire before that began to sound like a reasonable response.
Okay, we're in business, Tully announced. Sorry about the delay. I don't know why it was so hard to get the connection.
It's supposed to be brand new equipment. The company sent it less than a month ago. Rossetti grimaced inwardly and imagined Fox adding criticism of company hardware to the list of Tully's high crimes and misdemeanors. The lights dimmed and a large silvery cube blurred into existence in midair, seemingly balanced on one corner. Its edges went from fuzzy to hard and bright as it grew to twice its original size. A second later, the image of a familiar double helix, complete with red and green beads, appeared in the center of the cube. As I was saying, Dr. Trent began, this was a compatibility test, checking for any markers in common. Her tone became more confident as she warmed to her subject. The theory that terrestrial life has an extraterrestrial origin may be out of fashion these days, but it still hasn't been disproven. The building blocks of terrestrial life have been discovered on a multitude of other worlds, countless meteors and asteroids. To dismiss it, we're all familiar with the theory, Dr. Trent, Fox said impatiently. So let's get to the point. What kind of DNA were you looking for?
Human. Of course, Trent said archly. What we found,
Well, see for yourselves.
A new image appeared inside the cube. It looked like a cubist's interpretation of an Art Deco staircase. Some of its lines in glowing neon purple, others in bright chartreuse. The image was clear, yet Rossetti had trouble focusing on it, as if it were somehow resisting his sight, refusing to be seen.
Are you sure that's a biological structure?
Rossetti turned to Trent, glad to give his eyes a break. They were starting to hurt.
It doesn't look organic to me, more like a machine.
Trent chuckled grimly.
Wait till we get to the good part.
He turned back to see the weird shape in the cube moving toward the double helix. Rossetti expected them to bounce off each other. Instead, the weird one pounced on the double helix. Its glowing lines broke, became entangled with it, incorporated some of the beads, while others melted into the lines of the new shape. Any remaining red and green beads from the helix had been transformed into polygons. Their colors, no longer solid, but distributed here and there on the various sides, making a random mosaic. The new form was easier to look at, although Rossetti was pretty sure that wasn't a good thing.
The only things I've seen behave like that are viral cells, Fox said. Never genetic material. Never.
He sounded awestruck.
How long does this process take? In real time, Trent?
You just saw it. Trent seemed revolted, either by what they'd just seen, or by Fox's enthusiasm, or both. The long-suffering tech looked as if he was about to throw up.
It's a Darwinian ideal that exceeds Darwin, Fox continued. Nature offers all living things just two alternatives, adapt or die.
These creatures are the ultimate survivors. No matter what, they adapt.
Immediately.
His enthusiasm was starting to piss Rossetti off.
We could learn so much from them. I want a preliminary report.
I can tell you everything you need to know. Right now, Tully said.
Everyone turned to look at him in surprise. He jerked his chin at the cube.
They adapt. We die.